The title of my sermon today is Members of One Body, Christ. And I really got to witness the value and the purpose and of each member. Sunday school is like the perfect opportunity for us to be used as members of this body of Christ. And I always love coming to Sunday school and hearing what you all have to say. And then get to enjoy what our children have learned. I have been so blessed to have had my children raised by the teachers of the Church of Christ. Women and men who've dedicated their lives to the Lord and allow him to use them in teaching our children. So that's just one example of the importance of each member in the body of Christ. Member, the definition, according to Webster's 1828 dictionary, American Dictionary of the English Language, a member is a limb of animal bodies, as a leg, an arm, an ear, a finger, that is subordinate, a subordinate part of the body. It's also an individual of a community or society or church. Every citizen is a member of the state of a body politic. So the individuals of a club, a corporation, or confederacy are called its members. Students of an academy or college are its members. Professed Christians are called members of the church. That word subordinate, I'm going to go back. So this refers to this definition once again on member, that it is a subordinate part of the main body. Subordinate is an adjective. It is inferior in order, in nature, in dignity, in power, in importance. So we're subordinate. We are inferior in order to, or in power, to the part, to the main body itself. So, if we are less important or have less power than the main part of the body, what's the main part of the body? Who is it? We are members. We, the members, are inferior in importance to the main body, which is Christ. We draw our importance from him, from our submission to him. Last night in Young People's, we were talking about being kind. We read a scripture. In fact, I think we might be reading it later on here today. But it talked about our own nothingness and his everything. He is everything to us. And we need him for any good work we can perform. Each member has different gifts that God has given them to function in the body. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 7, but every one of us is given grace, favor, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I really was interested by that statement when I read it. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. And what that tells me is, I know that God only gives good gifts, amazing gifts. In my life, when I've when I've actually allowed him to, I've been able to do things that I never would have imagined. D.A. talked about a little bit earlier that God has changed my life. He's changed it in many ways. I never would have imagined that I'd be going to a foreign land and witnessing to others of the love of Christ. Never. Never would have imagined that I'd have that opportunity. And that was his gift. And each of us have gifts that God has given us that sometimes we haven't entrusted him to develop. And to develop to that measure that this is talking about. This is a promise, but unto everyone, every person, every one of us, is given grace or favor according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Captivity captive. The definition from Webster's 1828 dictionary, captivity captive, to lead captivity captive in Scripture is to subdue those who have held others in slavery or captivity. Before our baptism, we were enslaved to our flesh, to our nature. I know I was. I know that's, and because he led captivity captive at his ascension, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. When he was resurrected, he gave us all power to be raised up from ourselves and our sins and no longer be held captive by him. What a promise that is, that sometimes when we're in the midst of sin, in the midst of temptation, we think that we're stuck, but we're not. This promises to us that he led, when he was resurrected, captivity captive. And it says he gave gifts unto men. And the more we subordinate ourselves to him, we submit ourselves to him, and we trust in him, those gifts can be developed. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. This is talking about the church now, of which we each who have been baptized are members. And now there are diversities or differences in gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations or the executions of those gifts or its functioning. There are different ways that different functions, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, different ways that that God does things. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. We profit by his Spirit anytime we draw close to him, anytime we draw near to him in prayer, in reading of his word, in meditation upon it, in fasting. In listening. When we draw near to God, his Spirit guides us. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by that same Spirit. I could probably name names of people I know who have some of these gifts of wisdom, women and men, young adults and children. And the word of God bears that out, that God speaks through women, men, and children. So wisdom is one of those gifts. Knowledge is another. Verse 9, to another, faith by that same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues or languages. To another, the interpretation of languages. Now I want to talk about the importance of each member of the body of Christ. Because like I said earlier, each member is of equal importance in the functioning of the body. First, continuing in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So God is the one that decides which gift is given to which member, but it's because he has all knowledge and he knows why this person needs to do this and that. He has a great and marvelous plan for his church and for the way it functions. And it's the duty of every single one of us to listen to his Spirit to guide us so that it functions according to his will. Verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Identifying whose the body is, and that we are all of equal importance in the functioning of that body. We many members being that one body. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of that drink into one Spirit. So this is once again telling us that we're all equal before God. He loves us all the same, no matter whether we're Jews or Gentiles, whether we're male, female, young or old, it doesn't matter. We're each important members of that body, and it says, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. It's that Spirit of God that is our life force in the functioning of the body. That's the blood of the body. We all have that Spirit available to us. Not just available, but it's there for a purpose to guide each one of us in the functioning of our portion of the body. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. Once again, telling us of the importance of each member rather than just one member. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You know that we do that. We think, oh, I don't really have much to offer, or I just don't do enough. When we have no clue how we're affecting people. I'm not going to mention names, but I've really enjoyed the online prayer service when I'm not able to make it in here. And we have members that I've never even met before, but I love so much. And they're so important to the body, and they're so important to those Wednesday night services. Some people that just pray with a fervor that just inspire me. You could just really tell that they recognize their own nothingness, but also recognize and believe in the power of God. And I've even heard from some of them that they feel like they're not serving the Lord, and I wanted to reach out and hug them and say, what do you mean? You've been such a blessing in my life when I've been able to hear your prayers. And we have different gifts, not just one gift, but we should not diminish our importance to the body. We are so important, and one to another. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Or if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Each individual member has an important function within the body. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. I'm just thinking, we really, I hadn't thought of this till now, we really need to take an inventory. It's hard to do, I think. Think about those gifts. Sometimes we could recognize them, just like this person I was talking about on Wednesday night online service. They didn't recognize the gift they had. And maybe we need to listen to others when they say, thank you for doing this or that. Maybe we need to develop that gift even more to be of service to the body. Let's see. Pleased him. Verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. So now this is not one somebody thinking about themselves and what gifts do I have? This is someone else thinking about another member. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Because we're tempted of this too. Comparing ourselves with one another and thinking that maybe we have too much importance. The importance is in Christ and his use of each member within the body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these I just love this because, you know, I've seen this before where we, and where there may be people who do appear to be less honorable within the body, within the church. And it always amazes me to see what God does with them, despite what we might think, and how he's able to use them according to his will, because they're willing and because they believe in him. I'm not, once again, going to name any names, but just in my own life, I can see it. And it's really neat, because that's how God is. He loves each one of us, and he loves to develop us into what he wants us to be. So back to verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts, so that word uncomely might appear to be inappropriate or not beautiful, our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. It's talking about he sees beauty in everyone, because he created each one, and he knows down deep who they are and what they desire and what they pray for, and he wants to develop us to be that fruit that he desires us to be. There are no varied levels of importance in the body of Christ. Not one member is more important than any other. There are varied levels of responsibility and oversight: apostles, elders, pastors, etc. The most important decisions are made by the members. We just got through with conference, where members made important decisions about this next year. I encourage each member to attend conference if possible. And then they go out to referendum to each member, not just members that are here in conference. So the most important decisions that we make about this church and the functioning and its operation are made by the members, which gives us a great responsibility as members to draw near to God, to know his will. Ephesians chapter 4 again, verses 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That's the purpose, for the perfecting of members, the members of the body. That's the purpose that God gave apostles, gave prophets, gave evangelists, gave pastors and teachers. So when someone preaches with that responsibility, when they teach, when in business meetings, just different ways, operations where these offices, these ministry have this responsibility, we need to listen, because they've probably gone to the Lord and asked for guidance in everything they do. And so, and they've been given this role as overseer. Does it mean trust? No, we're supposed to try the Spirit. We're supposed to draw near to God and ask the truth. That is our responsibility as members. But their role is to help in perfecting us, drawing us nearer to God. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to build up the body of Christ. Now, in this list, there's the word prophets. In the Church of Christ, this is not a called office. This is open to the members. It's not a specific individual. It is someone who prophesies. In Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit was made known to the people who'd gathered from many different nations, the Holy Spirit was made known through the believers in Christ. It says, but this is, and when Peter stood to speak to all these people who were witnesses of what happened, who were stunned by it, surprised by it, he said to them, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it came, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. We need to be made available for this gift. We need to prepare ourselves that if God wants to use us, any of us, to speak through us, we need to be ready. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor on that part which lacked, that there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one toward another. I told you last night I was at Young People's and we were talking about being kind. And we talked about that when we're not kind, when we don't speak nice things to one another, that causes division. And it divides families, it divides couples, it divides churches. And this is a very clear statement that he wants no schism or division in the body, and that we should have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And we've had couple of our members have suffered, or Brother Dan and Sister Diane, we've had the opportunity to suffer with them and to pray for them. Same thing, our Sister Ruth went to the hospital yesterday. They were in an accident. And she has a broken clavicle bone. And we can suffer with her and pray for her and be with her and others. We've had that opportunity. And I think that this is a gift that we've really developed in the Church of Christ. Maybe we need to develop it more. But I know when my family has suffered, you all were there. And I praise God for it. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And before I go on, of course, the best gift is in the next chapter, which is charity, that pure love of Christ. And yet, shew I unto thee a more excellent way. And that's that next chapter, which I'm not going to go into. But we've had sermons on it, very good sermons. And so, yes, first we should covet that gift of charity, that love of Christ. That same love that God has loved us with, that he sent his son to die for us with. We should have that love for him and for one another. Covet, that word covet, so covet earnestly the best gifts, means to desire or wish for with eagerness. To desire earnestly to obtain or possess in a good sense. So we talked about one earlier, that gift of prophecy. It's one we could desire to be of service to God about. Or we can ask him, and we can ask him, God, what gift do you want me to develop that I may desire to develop it earnestly? The ideal functioning of the body occurs when we are fully connected and subordinate to the main body, Christ. In John 15, verse 5, Christ said, I am the vine, ye are the branches, just like that main body and the limbs. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Not just a little bit of fruit, but much fruit. So that's the importance of maintaining that abiding in him, of doing it from one moment to the next, of being constant in prayer, of when we're thinking about something, grab the Word of God and look it up and feast on it. Of setting out time for fasting. That time where we get away from all the necessities of life and all the distractions, and we're alone with God as much as possible, and we feast on his presence, whether it's through his word, in prayer, listening and meditating on those words, and listening to the Holy Spirit. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, being Christ, ye can do nothing. That makes it clear we need him every moment of the day, and the importance of abiding in him. Mosiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 18. And again, I say unto you, as I have said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if ye have known of his goodness, and have tasted of his love, and have received a remission of your sins, where your sins have gone away, they've been cleansed, and they've been taken away, which causeth such exceeding great joy in your souls. And think about that, the time where you were broken before God. And you knew you deserved justice. And he forgave all of that, and you felt that forgiveness. What exceeding great joy that is. And that's a joy we should maintain, but because he continues daily to forgive us when we repent. Even so, I would that you should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness and his goodness and long-suffering towards you and me, unworthy creatures. That's the amazing part about his love, is that we weren't worthy. We did not deserve anything good, and yet he loved us so much. And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility. Make yourself available to be taught. Be teachable. Recognize your own nothingness and that you have every need to understand from God what his will is for you. And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if ye do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you. We'll learn more about him. And the knowledge of that which is just and true. We'll learn more about truth. And ye will not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably and to render every man according to that which is his due. How God wants us to treat each other. How will this happen? It says if we humble ourselves in humility, we call on the Lord daily, we stand steadfast in our faith in him and in that which is to come. If we do that, then this will result. And then I'm going to read this last scripture of those who did that. Those who followed Christ's coming on this land and lived according to his teachings. They trusted him so much. They did these things. And it says in verse 17 of fourth book of Nephi, and it came to pass that there was no contention in the land because of the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people, and there were no envyings nor strifes nor tumults nor whoredoms nor lyings nor murders nor any manner of lasciviousness. And surely there could not have been a happier people among all the people which had been created by the hand of God. There were no robbers nor murderers, neither were there Lamanites nor any manner of ites, but they were in one the children of Christ and heirs to the kingdom of God. And how blessed were they! For the Lord did bless them in all their doings. Yea, even they were blessed and prospered until 110 years had passed away, and the first generation from Christ had passed away, and there was no contention in all the land. So my message to you today is abide in Christ. Spend quality time with the Lord every day. Time in prayer, praising him and asking him to help you accomplish his will. Feast upon the word of Christ. Listen to and be guided by his Spirit. Separate time for fasting and prayer often. Finally, I'd like to just read the words of this hymn that the Lord led our sister Manon lead us to sing. The church is one foundation that our brother D.A. started to speak about. And this is a message to us about what we as members and united as the church could be. Well, I have it here, and I forgot it. 368, I'm going to read it, because as I read it, as we were singing it, I was amazed how much it applied to this message today. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord, the main body. That's our foundation. She is his creation. The church is his creation by water and the word. That's how we abide in him. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth. Her charter, speaking of the church, of salvation. One Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, the church, we bless one holy name, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. Mid toil and tribulation through our trials and tumult of her war, she waits with consummation of peace forevermore. Till with the visions glorious, her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious, she be the church at rest. Yet she on earth hath union with God, the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is one. O happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we, like them, the meek and lowly, on high may dwell with thee. May God bless you, my brothers and sisters, that you abide in Christ, that you spend that quality time with him, that you feast upon his word, that you listen to his spirit, and that you spend time fasting and prayer often, that we may be built up, that church that he has planned. God bless you all.
Thank you, Brother Darren.